Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo sa ating Sunday School ng Christian Holiness. Tayo pa rin ay nasa paksa ng Means of Grace o mga kasangkapan ng biyaya na itinitindig natin sa prinsipyo that God supplies graces but He ordinarily uses ordained means to activate the Spirit and the Word. Sa muling pagpapanariwa natin ang ating proseso simula sa layo na maging banal, inaalam natin ang mga kasalanan na dapat patayin, mga biyaya na dapat linangin at mamuhay sa ilalim ng mga tamang pamantayan, at hindi makukumpleto ito kung wala ang mga kasangkapan ng biyaya. Execution of means completes the cycle. And we have been studying the various means under the categories of private and corporate. Tayo ngayon ay nasa corporate at dadako tayo sa panibagong bahagi ng corporate means of grace, at yan ang tinatawag na sacraments. Pag-aaralan natin ang bawat isa sa dalawang sacraments, ngunit tingnan muna natin sa malawakang pananaw ang ibig sabihin ng sakramento or sacraments. In Reformed theology, the teaching on the marks of a true church include the sacraments. If we could use this roadmap, the curve on the road is depicting our entry into the realm of a true church, there must be an essential mark. Ibig sabihin, dapat nariyan lagi ang essential mark to be a true church. And that essential mark is the proclamation of the word and particularly of the gospel. But then there are maintaining marks, and there are two that Reformed theology advocates as maintaining marks of a true church, and that includes administration of the sacraments, and secondly, the exercise of discipline. Pag-aralan natin pareho ang mga maintaining marks na yan. Ngunit ang gusto kong sabihin dito, a church may be true at one time without the maintaining marks. Halimbawang mali sila sa pagbautismo at maaaring mali ang kanilang paggamit ng Lord's Supper, pero merong matapat na pangangaral ng salita ng Diyos, sa isang punto o panahon ay maaring totoo itong iglesia. Kaya hindi natin basta winawalang bahala ang ibang mga iglesia na hindi natin kapaniniwala sa mga maintaining marks. They may still be a true church. But why the maintaining marks? Because without the maintaining marks, a church will not perpetuate for generations. Halimbawang ang binabautismohan niya ay mga anak na mga mananampalataya, pero ang mga anak na yun ay lalakim na marami sa kanila hindi magiging tunay na mananampalataya, at mangyayari na mapupuno ang iglesia ng mga hindi mananampalataya sa mga susunod na henerasyon, at ganyan ay nangyari na sa kasaysayan at nangyayari pa rin. So the maintaining marks are necessary for generational perpetuity of the genuineness of the church. So ang isang itanong natin dito ay why are we calling it sacraments instead of ordinances? It is well known that the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith used ordinances instead of what it is in other Reformed confessions as sacraments. So bakit tayo mas sumasang-ayon sa ibang Reformed confessions kaysa sa ating Baptist Confession of Faith in using sacraments? Well, when you look at ordinances, or when you understand ordinances, they simply, the word ordinance is simply a synonym for mandates. At maraming mga ordinances sa iglesia. Ordinances pertain to more activities than just the sacraments we recognize as baptism and the Lord's Supper. Isang halimbawa, ang pangangaral ay isang mandato ng iglesia, and therefore it is an ordinance, in fact a very important ordinance in the church, and yet we do not consider it a sacrament. Ang mahalagang malaman natin sa ikinaiiba ng sacrament, and do not have the time nor the necessity to go through the technical history of the word sacramenta, but the word sacrament pertains to physical signs of the covenant of grace. And maikukumpara natin ito sa circumcision as the covenant sign of the Old Testament. For example, in Romans 4:11, Apostle Paul makes this description of circumcision. He received the sign, referring to Abraham. He received he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. So, nandun ang pananampalataya kay Abraham, bagamat hindi pa nangyayari ang sign of the covenant which was circumcision. Now, ang mga sakramento ay maitutulad natin sa kung ano ang circumcision as sign of the covenant. It is not the grace of the covenant itself, but it is a sign of the covenant of grace. So, it is not just physical. For example, kapag tayo nananalangin, meron tayong physical na postura. Now, your physical posture is not exactly your prayer, but it is impossible to pray without assuming some kind of physical posture, whether you close your eyes, you kneel, or you bow your head. There is no imperative as to the physical posture. It is just that it is a necessity to have a physical posture when you pray. But that physical posture does not make it a sacrament. In order to be a sacrament, the physical must be a gospel sign. And by that we mean it pertains to Christ's saving work. So it is sacramental by the mandate of Christ and the promise of grace. Sakramento ito dahil ito'y mandato ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa Iglesia. At ito ay pangako ng biyaya. Hindi ito masasabi sa lahat ng physical na postura o gawain na ginagamit natin sa iglesia. Itumutukoy ito sa mga physical signs that Christ Himself directly mandated. So, the question then is, how many sacraments are there? It is well known that the Roman Catholic Church practices 7 sacraments. Kasama riyan ang baptism, in which they baptize infants, and then confirmation, andyan ang Eucharist, which is more well known as the Mass, and then the penance, more well known as confession, and anointing, previously known as extreme unction for the dying, but now it is anointing of the sick, and priesthood. And finally, you have matrimony. Ayan ang 7 nilang sakramento. At gusto kong sabihin, 5 of these have no gospel mandate and are not gospel signs. Hindi sila matatawag na sakramento. Hindi ko sabihin na mali lahat sila. For example, matrimony or marriage is of course right and has its place, but it is not a sacrament. But the fact that the Roman Catholic Church considers it as a sacrament, isa yung dahilan kung bakit ang mananampalataya ay hindi maaring maging aktibong kasama, not an active participant of a Roman Catholic matrimonial ceremony. Not because we do not recognize the marriage of Catholics, but because the ceremony itself is sacramental and we cannot participate in a sacrament where there is a context of worship that we cannot accept. Then, 2 of the correct sacraments here, namely baptism and the Eucharist, are however wrongly taught and practiced. Mas titingnan natin yung pagdating natin sa ating mga susunod na leksyon, singling out the 2 sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Ang dapat na hawakan nating paniniwala, there are only 2 physical signs which are sacraments of the Church, because these are the only 2 directly instituted by Christ Himself for the Church to do. And that includes baptism. We have that in the Great Commission, baptizing those who are made disciples. And it is a mandate that is going to continue until the end of the age. And when Jesus first instituted the Lord's Supper by His own leading of the first Lord's Supper, or we sometimes call the Last Supper, there was also a word of institution, as we see in Luke 22:19, which Apostle Paul follows in 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. At makikita natin dito na may direct institution by the Lord Jesus as head of the Church. So they are physical signs of the gospel. Mga physical na gawain sila at tumuturo sila sa ebanghelyo. Halimbawa, ang bautismo is pointing to the death and resurrection of Christ. Whereas the Lord's Supper is a reminder of Christ's death on the cross by the smiting of His body and the shedding of His blood. So the emblems remind us of the body and blood of Jesus. So the sacraments are perpetual institutions of Christ for the church on earth. Tuloy-tuloy sila, hindi sila mawawala, hindi sila magbabago simula sa paninimula ng Iglesia sa panahon ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ay itinatag niya ang mga sakramento na gawain ng Iglesia hanggang sa huling araw sa kanyang pagparito. Wala tayong masasabing ibang physical sign na may ganyan na tuloy-tuloy na gawain ng Iglesia. So for us and for the teaching of the New Testament, there are only two sacraments, namely baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, the next question is as to efficacy. How do the sacraments take effect? Tinatawag natin ito na means of grace. Paano siya nagiging means of grace? Again, we can only make a contrast between the Roman Catholic position and the Reformed position based on the New Testament. In the Roman Catholic position, it is known in the Latin ex opere operato. Sa literal na kahulugan yan, by the work done. And that means there is an automatic infusion of grace in the participant. Basta sumama ang participant sa gawain ng sakramento, kagaya ng misa, at lalo na sa misa, ay itinuturo ng simbahang Katoliko na nakakatanggap na sila ng biyaya, ano pa man ang kanilang kalagayan, basta't nandoon sila, there is an automatic infusion of grace in the participant. This is made clear in their many documents, but in a more modern document of the Roman Catholic Catechism, in number 1131, it says, "The sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the Church by which divine life is dispensed upon us." So, diyan makikita natin, tinawag nilang efficacious, sinasabing kapag ginawa ang sakramento, there is divine life dispensed upon those who participate in the sacrament. Now, in Reformed theology, we consider the sacraments, as we are doing here, as means of grace. And they are not grace of means, meaning the means themselves are not grace. Sila ay kasangkapan. Siguro we can compare this as one theologian compares between pipe and water. Water flows through the pipe. The pipe is the means. Eh, ganun ang means of grace. Hindi mo naman gagawin ang pipe na siyang iinumin mo. Pero kailangan mo yung pipe para daluyan ng tubig na siyang magbibigay sa iyo ng buhay. Ang tubig ay ang salita ng Diyos. Ang tubig ay ang gawa ng banal na Espiritu. So, we do not believe that the means themselves are grace. But they are means of grace. They are means by which grace is flowing to the participants, and there has to be the combination of these four elements. The Holy Spirit makes them efficacious. So, hindi basta nandoon ang kasangkapan ay may automatic na nangyayari. Kailangan na ito'y gamitin ng Espiritu. It is the Holy Spirit who makes Christ present. Of course, Christ will not be present physically. We will discuss this more when we discuss the Lord's Supper. But Christ is not present physically. How is He present? He is present through the Holy Spirit. So without the presence of Christ, the sacraments will be in vain. Ikalawa, they are made meaningful by the preached word. So it is done with preaching or in the context of preaching. Yung madalas natin gawin sa preaching service because it is to be done in the context of preaching. It is the word that gives meaning to the sacrament. The sacrament cannot be done irrespective of the word of God. Ikatlo, they are to be received by faith. Kaya ang participant ay kinakailangan may pananampalataya upang magkabisa sa kanya ang sakramento. So this is not to be received in a superstitious mindset na parang may kapangyarihan mismo, may bisa mismo ang kasangkapan kung wala naman siyang pananampalataya sa kinakatawan ng kasangkapan at ng sakramento. At ang ikaapat, they are done in the gathered church or in the case of baptism because it is initial, it is on behalf of the church. Maaring bautismo ng isang bagong mananampalataya na wala ang iglesia pero ang gumagawa ng bautismo ay binigyang autoridad ng iglesia upang gawin ito sa pangalan ng iglesia. So baptism can be done without the gathered church but on behalf of the church. The Lord's Supper simply has to be done in the gathered church. Merong corporate significance ang gawain ng Lord's Supper. Dito matututunan natin that the dependence of the participant is not on the sacrament itself, not on baptism and the Lord's Supper as such, but upon the God of grace. Kung wala ang presensya ng Diyos, ay wala ring silbi ang sakramento, magiging isang seremonya, ritual lamang na walang tunay na espiritual na kahulugan. So we believe in the efficacy of the sacraments, but efficacy as means. And it is the God of grace who will make the means a means of grace. Ang dapat nating iwasan ng mga extremes pagdating sa katuruan ng bagong tipan tungkol sa sakramento, dalawang bagay. Una ay ang tinatawag kong sacramentalism. Again, many are guilty of this. Primarily, the Roman Catholic Church is guilty of sacramentalism. Sacramentalism holds that the sacraments take effect regardless of the recipient's faith. Yan na nga yung idea ng there is something automatic that happens because the sacraments have power and efficacy in themselves. At kapag ganyan ang pananaw, ang nangyayari, at ito ang nangyayari sa Roman Catholic practice, the priestly administration becomes the all-important validation. Ang ibig sabihin, nagiging valid ang sacraments nang dahil sa nangunguna. At ang kailangang manguna sa pananaw ng simbahang Katoliko ay isang pari. Ay, alam ninyo, ganyan tayong inalipin ng matagal ng mga Kastila ay sa pagbabanta nila na kunin ang mga pari sa isang bayan at inaakala ng mga mamamayan na hindi naman naturuan na hindi sila mapapatawad ng kasalanan kung wala ang pari. Yan, ganyan nangyayari, nagiging mapanupil. Wala ang pagkabisa ng sakramento ay wala sa pagkapari. Kahit pa ang Papa mismo ang manguna ng sakramento, hindi ito ang nagbibigay bisa dito. Ang nagiging bunga nga ng ganitong pananaw, it fosters carelessness and disregard for one's spiritual condition. Kung ang bisa ay nandun lang mismo sa sakramento, wala sa, kung ako'y may pananampalataya, ay walang magiging pakialam ang isang sumasama sa sakramento hanggat naniniwala siya na ang sakramento mismo ay mabisa sa kanyang sarili. So it fosters complacency at ang nararapat na pananaw natin, the elements are not transformed into anything. We will again study this more when we come to the Lord's Supper. In this case, the bread and the wine do not become anything else than bread and wine. But they are gospel pointers in their physical state because of the special mandate of Christ and the promise of grace. They point to the gospel. And that is the reason why hindi maari na careless ang pagtanggap ng sakramento. May ganitong pagbilin si Apostol Pablo, and you see this read every time that we have our Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So do not treat the physical emblems as having any magical sacredness, that is superstition, that is sacramentalism. Walang bisa ang sakramento sa kanyang sarili, maliban na ito ay kasangkapanin ng banal na espiritu at maliban na ito'y tanggapin ng may tamang kalooban na pinamamahalaan ng pananampalataya. Ang ikalawa na dapat nating iwasan naman nangyayari sa maraming evangelicals ay ang tatawagin kong hyper-spirituality. Now, this position thinks that physical signs have no place in New Testament Christian spirituality. Parang sinasabi nila, spiritual na tayo, mga bagay na ng espiritu ang umiiral dapat sa iglesia, wala nang dapat na mga physical na siyang dapat na ginagawa pa rin sa mga mandato ng iglesia. Now, totoo ito, to some extent, this is true for self-chosen and invented physical signs. Hindi ka maaring pumili at hindi ka maaring mag-imbento ng sarili mong tanda na physical at sasabihin mo na ito ang simbolo na gusto kong gawin para sa gawain ng iglesia. Halimbawa, ang sign of the cross to pray. Maraming gumagawa niyan, pero hindi yan iniutos sa Biblia. Walang mandato si Jesucristo na yan ay gawin kapag tayo ay nanalangin. Ngunit inimbento yan para isipin na nagkakaroon tayo ng pag-ugnay sa krus ni Jesucristo sa pamamagitan ng physical sign of the cross. Now, this is an example of using a physical sign that has no mandate. It is only self-chosen or tradition mandated, but there is no mandate in the New Testament. Ngunit, the sacraments are physical signs chosen by Christ. Eh, hindi mo maaaring ipagwalang bahala iyan na sabihin mo na spiritual na tayo, wala nang physical. But Jesus, no less, has mandated that certain physical signs, two of them are to be considered as physical signs of the gospel that should be perpetrated in the church and practiced all throughout the age. So it is Christ's accommodation to our continuing body-soul existence. Kaya pag sinabi mong spiritual na tayo at ang ibig mong sabihin ng spiritual ay wala na ang katawan, wala na ang physical, nagkakamali ka. Ang pagiging spiritual, lagi kong sinasabi, ay tumutukoy sa espiritu ng Diyos, hindi sa espiritu ng pagkatao. At kung sa espiritu ng Diyos kasama ang ating buong pagkatao, katawan at espiritu, kung kaya't sa kagandahang loob ng ating Panginoon, ay binigyan pa rin niya ang iglesia ng dalawa na physical na mga gawain upang maisaalang-alang na tayo ay may kaluluwa, espiritu at may katawan. At therefore, isang tungkuling babala nito ay do not deliberately withdraw from the sacrament on false humility. Ay maring may mga nagsasabing hindi ako pwede, hindi ako mga karapat-dapat. Nagkakamali ka. Nangyayari ito where believers reject baptism at gusto nila na lumago muna sila, makarating sa isang punto ng kanilang paglago bago nila isipin ang magpabautismo. Pero ang utos ni Jesucristo ay kung naging mananampalataya ka na, dapat ka nang magpabautismo. And to keep rejecting baptism is plain disobedience. On the other hand, there are members who withdraw from the Lord's Supper. Maring sa tingin nila, hindi sila karapat-dapat, pero makikita natin when you study the Lord's Supper, when you withdraw yourself deliberately from the Lord's Supper, you are rejecting the offer of Christ for grace. Yan ang ginagawa mo. Kaya isang babala iyan. And do not disregard the presence of Christ by an extreme of spirituality. Ituring mo pa rin na biyaya ng Diyos na sa pamamagitan ng sakramento ay nakikipag-ugnayan siya sa atin sa paraang ang presensya niya ay maari nating maranasan. Kaya huwag kang umatras doon sa pagiging espiritual na ang ibig sabihin sa iyo ay wala ng anumang physical sa iyong buhay ng pananampalataya. Kaya muli, kung tatanggapin natin ang puwang ng mga sakramento, ayusin natin ang ating pag-iisip at labanan natin ang maling pag-iisip. Ang tamang pag-iisip ay tanggapin natin that the sacraments are Christ's perpetual institution for the church. And the right thought in response to that is, I will esteem the sacraments very highly as means of grace for my holiness. Para sa kabanalan natin ang mga sakramento na mandato ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Magbubunga ito ng ugali na I will by God's grace involve and engage myself when sacraments are conducted by my church. Eh, makikilahok ka at makikiisa sa mga gawaing sakramento ng iglesia. Ang maling pag-iisip na pinaiiral ang kasalanan, I see the sacraments as inferior activities in the church, and perhaps even vestiges of ongoing tradition. Napakamali na pananaw. Magbubunga ito ng ugali na I will be involved during sacraments when I am present, but I do not see them as necessary to maintain my spirituality. Eh, ganyan ang mga sumasali pag may Lord's Supper sa iglesia, pero wala sila talagang pagpapahalaga at mataas na paningin sa gawaing sakramento. Ang hamon ko sa inyo ay esteem the sacraments as the church's perpetual means of grace. They are, according to Jesus, until the end of the age. And according to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, until Christ comes again. Kaya tuloy-tuloy ito para sa iglesia. Tuloy-tuloy din nakasangkapan ng biyaya para sa ating kabanalan. Sa mga susunod ay pag-aaralan natin ang ng tig-isa ang isa-isa ang dalawang sakramento na mandato ni Jesus para sa iglesia. Pero ito ay mas malawak ang pagtingin sa usapin at pagtuturo ng sakramento. Tanggapin natin na sila ay mga kasangkapan ng biyaya para tayo maging banal. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. At muli, pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Diyos Ama sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.